This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let me finish my story here in case you're just now tuning in. I'm telling a story. Someone asked me, are Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell going to stay in leadership? Can we boot them out? So I'm telling a little story about when I ran for Congress and how I finally beat the establishment guy in the primary, and I had to spend all my money to do it, all the campaign money. So I finished a primary. I have no money, none. Now, in Arizona is a little different than other places where their early voting is early. Their primary is not till August, I think it is. Well, you're voting for the general election if you vote early, like a month later. It's really, really early. So you need money once you win the primary, and you need it fast. I was going up against Gabrielle Giffords, money machine. She's a Democrat. Democrats pour money into her. Immediately, she starts blasting me on the air. They were all lies. I mean, she's a huge liar, but that's the game. I'm not complaining about it. That's politics, right? It's contact sport. So she's up there running ads, lying about who I am. They spliced up a bunch of video, made it look like I was trying to take away old people's Social Security or something like that. So she's just, it was dishonest, yes, but that's politics. So they're lying on television, lying over and over and over again. I don't have any money to buy ads to return fire. I have no ability to return fire at all. I can't put up ads telling people that she's a piece of trash. I can't put up ads telling people that I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, politics. I can't do any of that stuff. So the National Republican Party, they dislike me a lot at this point in time. One, I can't be controlled. They're mad about that. Paul Ryan and I had it out on the phone. That didn't go well. The senator, Kyle, he was Senator John Kyle from Arizona, piece of crap he is. He said that I wasn't, quote, sufficiently respectful of him when we had met before, which I wasn't rude. I was totally nice. I even called him senator. What am I supposed to do, bow down and kiss your feet for you? But apparently that I have a, quote, problem with authority, and the National Party froze me out. We fly back to Washington, D.C. for money. When you run for Congress, there are PACs. Not all PACs are bad PACs. There are good PACs who will raise you money. Hardcore conservative PACs loved me, of course. Immigration hawks loved me, of course. Low tax people loved me, of course. I was as far right as you can get. So we fly back there just to meet with these groups. We need money bad. John McCain also hated my guts. Obviously, the establishment guy was the other guy. That's the one McCain preferred. We get word that John McCain wants to meet me. He, of course, has sources everywhere. He finds out I'm in Washington, D.C. Okay, I mean, whatever. I'll go meet with McCain. That's fine. It's pretty well established. I should probably say by this point in time, he had reason to hate me. J.D. Hayworth was running in a primary against John McCain. And here I was, a nobody. I'd never run for office before. No one knew who I was. I got up on stage at a Tea Party rally and endorsed J.D. Hayworth over John McCain publicly. My staff was so mad they almost quit. It was such a politically suicidal move. But again, I have impulse control problems. That's what I felt, so that's what I did. So McCain had every reason to hate me. Now, fast forward to McCain wants to meet me. We show up at the meeting, and McCain comes around. He's got a cup of Starbucks coffee, big cup of Starbucks coffee in his hand, shakes my hand, shoos everyone else out of the room. So now it's just me and McCain. He hates me. He assumes I hate him. That's where we are. McCain sits down and promptly, in one of the funniest things I've ever seen, spills coffee down his front. It was funny, not because of the spilling of the coffee. He took a drink, but the lid wasn't on right, and the coffee came out and spilled right down his front. McCain starts cussing like a sailor. you're probably not shocked by this, but behind the scenes, McCain's just an old Navy guy, just cursed like a sailor. Well, I was a Marine, so we share a laugh over the coffee thing, and we share a laugh over some old military humor that you wouldn't probably say in public. And for whatever reason, even though we obviously do not align at all politically, McCain decided that he liked me. Okay, fine. I didn't know what that meant. He didn't ask me for anything, nor would I have given it, but he decided he liked me. I walked out of that meeting. I thought, wow, he likes me. Okay, anyway, let's go raise some money. So we take off, we raise some money. It was like somebody turned on a light switch. All of a sudden, we're getting these huge campaign donations into that. We had a P.O. box as a campaign. Out of nowhere, people I'd never met. People I'd never called and talked to. Now, they were Arizona people for the most part, but there were even a couple PACs in there. They're sending campaign donations. Now, they were all legal. It was all within limits, but I'm looking around thinking, wait, what? Now we have money. We have money. Let's get some TV. We have money. And on top of that, McCain, because he was in charge, he ran John Kyle. McCain was the one who ran John Kyle. McCain and Kyle... Remember, Kyle hated my guts, probably still hates my guts. The feeling's mutual. They start doing ads for me with their own money. I didn't even know they were doing that, which I think legally I wasn't allowed to know. That's why they didn't tell me. But I think they're still on YouTube. I bet if you look them up, you can still see John McCain and John Kyle doing ads for me in Arizona. They're doing ads for me. Now, what does this have to do with Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell? You get to leadership. In the House and Senate, you get to leadership being voted by the other members of your party. So Republicans in the Senate, they'll make sure Mitch McConnell is the head of the Senate. Republicans in the House, they'll make sure Kevin McCarthy's the head of the House. How do they get those votes, though? Is it who's most conservative? Is it who's going to fight for the country? It's who raises money. Who raises money for other candidates. Nancy Pelosi, we joke so much about Grandma Vodka and how it's amazing that she's the most unlikable, vile human being, and yet she's been Speaker of the House. She's just mega powerful. I mean, she runs the Democratic Party. But how? Everyone hates her. How? Nancy Pelosi raises tons of money and gives them out to Democrats to win their races across the country. Let me ask you something. Would I have voted against... Let's say I wasn't going into the Senate, but let's say I was. Let's say McCain steps in, raises me all this money, and we barely win instead of barely losing. Remember, I ended up losing by 4,000 votes, actually because of the early voting that took place when I wasn't on TV. It cost me the election, the whole election gone. But let's say he comes in and that little financial windfall for the campaign, it's the reason I'm in the Senate. I wasn't running for Senate, but it's the reason I'm in the Senate. And then let's say one day, maybe day one, I get there, I'm moving into my Senate office and knock at the door. Hey, John McCain wants to see you. I mosey on down to John McCain's office and he says, Jesse, congratulations. Glad to have you here. Hey, I'm not going to ask you to vote with me for everything. I know we don't agree on things. By the way, he told me that when I was running for Congress because he knew we were not going to see eye to eye. So I'm not going to ask you to vote on things like that you disagree with, but I am running for leadership and I want your vote. Would I have been able to say no? Be honest with yourself. Would you be able to say no? That person's a huge reason you're there. That's why Kevin McCarthy is going to be Speaker of the House. That's why Mitch McConnell is going to be in charge of the Senate Majority Leader. I know you're cringing. I know you didn't want to hear that. It's not my job to tell you what you want to hear. That's why they're going back. Why is Kevin McCarthy going to be there? It's not because he has the best ideas and he's the furthest to the right or he's the most conservative. As we speak, Kevin McCarthy is handing out vast quantities of campaign money to Republicans running for office all across the country. And those are the ones who are running. We're not even talking about all the ones who are already there, who he's already raised money for. You know, Kevin McCarthy raised money for me back when I was running for Congress. That's how ambitious he was. That was what, 2010? Oh, Chris, he came out and did a campaign event, more than one for me. I sat down and had private dinner with Kevin McCarthy, him and a couple guys of mine. Back there, what's he doing out there? Out there, raising me money. Building favors. Buying favors. You don't like that that's the way it works. I don't like that that's the way it works. But we don't get the world we want. That is the way it works. Kevin McCarthy's going to be Speaker of the House. You heard my thoughts on it last night, but that's how it is. Chris said primary. Who's going to beat him in a primary? You think the people in his district, Bakersfield, California, which I've done construction work in Bakersfield, you think they like having the Speaker of the House as their congressman? Of course they do. Who wouldn't? Of course they do. That's the way it goes. All right, enough. Do I have a school teacher that influenced me? I actually did. Fatherhood advice. Some guy's wife is turning his kids against him. So much more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. But let's talk about Eden Pure Thunderstorm really quickly. Because I understand you may still have the sniffles. Your eyes may be itching. Maybe all that sucks. Well, I'm going to read you something really quickly. Pay attention to this. Dear Oracle, your recent takedown of Three Musketeers being the worst candy spot on, but it's never last place. The trophy belongs to Almond Joy. You're so right about that, by the way. So right. Almond Joy sucks. And then he throws this tidbit in. On a side note, I live in the communist Pacific Northwest, and over the past several days, the Seattle area has had literally the worst air quality on the planet due to wildfire smoke being with an air quality index well above 200. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm has saved my lungs. In addition to them being in my house and office, I have one in my truck. With the air recirculate, I drive around in a cocoon of fresh, clean air while everyone else is choking to death. Greatest invention ever. Love the show. Keep up the great work. His name is Rob. Go and do likewise. Rob has himself a three-pack. You can have $200 off your three-pack. These things are miracles. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3. Jesse in the number 3. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I have so many questions I still have to get to. It's been a lot already. I feel like it's been a lot. I know, Chris. I know. You know what? I'm done with you, Chris. I'm starting now. Starting now. Jesse, who was the school teacher who had the greatest influence on your life? I am ashamed to admit that I have forgotten his name. Now, hear me out. This is who it was. People will say things, and maybe you've said something like this. I don't like history. I'm not really into history. I don't like history. No, history's boring. No, you've been cheated. Most people are cheated their entire lives. You know what they think history is? Go download virtually any history podcast out there. And that this is what people think history is, because this is what most of history is. And then in 1759, General Wainwright went over with General Johnson, and 25,000 troops they mobilized against 10,000 other troops, but he actually had more cannons than the first. Oh my gosh, kill me now. Who wants to listen to that? It's awful. History is stories about drama, success, failure, suffering, death, violence, all the wonderful things we love. Everything you go to watch in the movies, history has done it better and more extreme. But I had a history teacher. Again, I think it was sixth grade. It might have been seventh, but I'm almost positive it was sixth grade. I was the same way about history. I loved books, like old military books, but not really history itself. And that's all I'd ever known, too. Every history teacher doesn't want to be there either. And then we have the Spartans, and they were a military society, but at the, oh gosh. And then I had this teacher. He was one of the football coaches, of course. And he carried this long wooden stick, and he was loud like this, and he freaking loved it. You know why you love it when I do history? You know why? Because I love it. What it comes through the microphone. I love it. And so because I love it, I try to put myself in the story. Like when I'm telling you a history story, I'm trying to put myself in there. And because I'm trying to put myself in there, I end up putting you in there. And we end up doing it together. We're together. We're living it in our minds. We're living it together. And that's what this guy did. He would take this long wooden stick. And the Spartans, they would take their spear and shove it right through your eye and whap. And he'd be whapping the board with the stick. And he was just fired up and ready to go. And oh my goodness, I that day I discovered I actually love history. I just don't like any of the dorks who tell the history stories. And I shouldn't be too hard on people. Because that's how people were trained, that's what people know. That's all they know. People think history is that crappy history course you had to take in college. Well, actually, Mark Twain wrote back in the day. History, unless it is alive for you, unless you read a history story and you're picturing how it smells, how it feels, unless you're doing that, the person telling you the story sucks and you need to go find a different place. Yes, and I'm sad I don't know his name, but I thank him for it. That is when I fell in love with history. Dear Dr. Oracle, I'm going to be a first-time father this upcoming June. What is the best advice you've received regarding becoming a father? Do you have any sage wisdom you can pass on to me? I don't know about sage wisdom. I've only got two. As of right now, it looks like they're going to turn out all right. And they're not serial killers or anything yet. I'm pretty happy about that. We get a bunch of compliments on how polite and well-mannered the boys are. I'll give you two. This is two. One, manners are not a small thing. Make them a priority. It gives your children an edge over other children, especially when they end up going into the workforce. It'll give them an edge. And I mean manners like no elbows on the table. When you eat, sit up straight. You don't bend down your head to the food. You pick the food up to your body. You go order your own food. You hold doors open for men and women. When you speak to someone, you speak clearly and with some volume to it. When you shake their hands, you shake their hands firmly. And I mean at an early age. You don't have to wait till they're 10. You teach them manners. You'd be surprised how much that stuff sticks. That's one. And two, be honest with your kids when you screw up, because you will. Everyone's had these moments. I certainly have a bad night of sleep or whatever. I have every excuse in the world where, because they can get annoying sometimes, you snap at your kids, and then you look at them, and you realize you've just broken them. You will have this moment where you've just, you can see the tears welling up in their eyes, and in that moment, you want to die. You feel like the worst person in the world. Pull them aside and say, man, I'm sorry. That was freaking wrong. People don't do that. I apologize to my kids whenever I screw up. I should have done this. I didn't do that. Hey, I didn't do this. I should have done that. Hey, I snapped at you. I actually told you to shut up. I should never say that to you. That's my fault. I owe you an apology and I'm sorry. You'll find they'll take more ownership of the things they screw up when you do that because they see your example. Dad, I screwed up. I didn't study enough. That's on me. There, that's my advice. All right. A guy's wife, she's liberal. The kids are turning liberal. What do you do? Ugh, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Now let's talk about this. Maybe you should slip them some chalk in their drinks. No, Chris, don't do that. Don't slip them any chalk. But you yourself, fellas, you cannot allow yourself to become a low-T loser like we are becoming. It's not even our fault. There's estrogens in everything now. Testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. That's the end of society unless you can fix that problem. If you go to choq.com, chalk.com, you'll see a male vitality stack. Sign up for a subscription and give me 90 days. Take it for 3 months. I don't even need you to do testing, although you can. Most people do. Email me and tell me how you feel, fellas. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack. 35% off the lifetime of your subscription. Cancel it at any time. If in 90 days you don't feel markedly better, cancel. Chalk.com promo code Jesse. That's Chalk.com promo Jesse.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can still email me during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Here's a tough one here. A divided home. Hi, Jesse. I'm 40 years old. I listen to you every day and agree with you wholeheartedly on all of today's issues. My wife of 15 years is much more liberal than me and hates anything political. My two girls attend public school and are very smart. We moved from Illinois to Virginia a couple years ago to be closer to my father-in-law. The problem I'm running into is my wife doesn't want to hear about what is going on in our country and tells me I'm sounding crazy because I'm trying to make her aware. Both my girls have adopted this transgender mentality and truly believe there are 150 genders and men can get pregnant. Mainly, I think, because my wife doesn't believe we are at a crossroads in our country. How can I wake my family up? How can you wake your family up? Says, I love the show. Keep up the fight. His name is Dustin. I've had these emails before about wives, about husbands, about children, parents, cousins. And allow me, first of all, to extend my heartfelt condolences because that would be really, really difficult. To have somebody you love so much, your kids, right? Your wife, someone you care so much about, and know that they're completely lost and not know how to bring them home, not know how to bring them back. And maybe there's a parent out there struggling with that right now with their kids or something. I know that has to be brutal. I'm not at that place in my life yet. I mean, who knows? My sons could easily lose their mind, right? You never know. You can't see the future. Hope not, but they could. You hope you're not at that point. And now is a great time for where people would normally say, well, I would never have married a liberal. Why would, how does that help anybody when they're stuck in a bad situation? Well, you shouldn't have done it. Your fault. That doesn't help anyone anything. I will tell you this. It is your wife. It is your daughters. And I know this may be a little bit dark, but hear me out. Things are about to get very, very, very rough in this country in the coming years. The next 20 to 30 years in America is going to look nothing like the last 20 to 30 years. The economic disaster that's about here, that alone is going to shock people awake. Yes, your wife and your daughters may believe in 150 genders now. You know the time is going to come when your daughters and maybe your wife, they're going to find themselves in the bathroom with someone with a penis. They are. And the thing about communism is this. It sounds so wonderful on paper, doesn't it? It really genuinely does. Even America's communism. Remember, we don't do this workers' communism stuff. What's our communism stuff about? It's all climate change and feminism and LGBTQ demon insanity and Black Lives Matter stuff. And on paper, doesn't all that stuff sound wonderful? Oh, women get equal. You know what? We are going to be kinder to the planet. Oh, you know what? Gay people should be accepted and not have hate. It all sounds so wonderful. But just like all communism, just like the Soviet version, just like the Cambodian version, the Chinese version, all these versions have been different. Ours is different too. The reality of it is positively horrific. Dad, man is making the climate change and it's disgusting. We need to stop oil and gas. This time next year, Dad, I'm so scared. We've lost power and they can't tell us when it's coming on and it's so cold in here. Dad, I'm so scared. And I know you don't want to hear that, But when you get to the place where we are right now as a country, where you have to sit down every single day and you watch the despicable filth in our country, you watch the insanity going on in our country, and you watch it and you see it all. This is your frustration. I know it is because it's mine. And you want everyone to see it all, but they won't see it. Right now, if you're at a place where you can't see what's happening, you won't ever see without pain. The truth is, pain, it's something God gave us for a reason. Pain can be extremely beneficial. I know it sucks to hear, but it's probably good that your knee is sore today. Something might be wrong. That's your body letting you know something's wrong. Communists, oftentimes, they have to feel the pain of what they've done. They have to feel the pain of what they've embraced. They do. People don't wake up oftentimes without that pain. I've used the fat person analogy a bunch because it's true. Lots of times that fat person eats too much, won't work out enough. It's just every excuse in the world. And it's easy to go through that and go through that and go through that until elevator goes out at work. You have to take one flight of stairs and you're just sucking wind and feel like you're about to pass out. That's not bad. That's good. That's good. That's a good thing. That's a good day. The pain that's coming is going to suck. It is going to suck. There are many, many ways it is going to be beneficial. It's funny, I brought up the elevator thing. It actually happened here at work a month ago or so. And we're on one of the super high floors. And on our floor, there is a call center. And I've seen it because the door's been open a couple of times. I have no idea what they do and no interest. I don't talk to other people. But I've walked by, and it's a call center. So you can picture a call center. Maybe you're in one right now. Lots of times in a call center, people will be overweight. It's just by nature of what you do. You sit there in a cubicle all day long and take phone calls. So you can see in there, it's all women. I don't know what they're doing in there. And they're virtually all overweight. And I'm not judging, right? People are fat. People are skinny. It's fine. But I'll never forget the day the elevator went out here. And you could watch them coming out of the stairwell, dying. Absolutely dying. Sucking wind, dying. And I thought to myself that day, man, good. Good. You take the elevator every day. You don't know. You don't know that your arteries are shriveling in front of your eyes. You don't know that your body is working too hard to get oxygen to it. You don't know. You need the worst thing to happen. You need the elevator to go out. If you're struggling with friends and family members, you should know they're going to get stung awake in the coming times. They are. They are. Life comes at you fast, man. About the time your wife calls you from the gas station and tells you, hey, honey, it's going to be $150 to fill up the SUV today. Maybe that's a good time to mention, oh, really? Remember when Joe Biden canceled the Keystone Pipeline and all the federal leases? Sucks, doesn't it? I'm not saying start fights with friends and family, but pain has a way of waking us up. Why do you think, I tell you all the time about preborn, right? I tell you about how they provide ultrasounds for free to scared young women who are going to get an abortion. She's heading to an abortion clinic and they tell her, hey, come over here. Come over here and listen to your baby's heartbeat for free. Now, why does that work? Because that young lady walking into the abortion clinic, oftentimes, as crazy as this may sound to you, because her culture has so poisoned her mind and her values, she doesn't consider it a life. She's been told clump of cells, pro-choice, things like that. She's been told that her whole life. And I don't care how wild it sounds to you or me, she genuinely does not consider it to be a baby. She has to be shocked awake. I know it's nuts to think, like, I've had two kids. I mean, we lost one, so I guess it's three. But I've had three experiences at the doctor's office where you hear that heartbeat. And so it's not, of course I know there's a heartbeat. Of course I can know I can hear it. Of course I've done the ultrasound. Everyone doesn't know that. You have to shock them into knowing that sometimes. It's genuinely, why do you think it's over a 90% success rate? These women who get an ultrasound have their baby. They didn't know. They didn't know. Unless you provide it for them, they don't know. You have to shock people awake sometimes. It's all there is to it. Hey, that thing, it's not a clump of cells. It's a child of God. By the way, you can save one of those babies. It costs you $28 to save a life. $28. $140 saves five of them. That's what it costs to give that young woman an ultrasound. $28. Help preborn out, huh? Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Or you can pick up your phone, dial #250 and say baby. #250 baby. All right. Are our kids going to get drafted? Uh-oh. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We still have a whole hour left. Don't you stress. I'm going to churn and burn through these things, man. Did you hear Bill Gates? Bill freaking Gates, this guy.
Anyone who says that climate shouldn't be a factor in how you evaluate the future of a company, you know, isn't, that's not capitalism, because companies that have emissions, you know, they are going to be subject to border adjustment tariffs or taxes. The idea that we're still
hold on, what? Capitalism is now attacking companies that don't embrace the climate change death cult? This freaking guy, man. I'm telling you what, golly, it's hard to find a more destructive force on the planet today than Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the all-encompassing problem. He genuinely is. You find a major issue out there, Bill Gates is either leading it or majorly contributing to it. Man, what a piece of trash that guy is. Dear tall, pink, and handsome, my son is 19. Being the father of two boys, what would you do if either or both eventually got drafted? Do I start to mentally prepare my son for this potential reality show or let him live his life as long as possible without having to deal with it? Well, it's funny you brought this up. It goes on to say, I would rather take his place or go along for the ride rather than send him off. Listen, I have my two boys. I would go to war every day for the rest of my life to spare them ever having to go happily. I would happily just go lay down and die for them. But I brought this up actually to them. It's funny you brought this up. I brought it up the other day. The draft, they saw something about the draft in the news, and I brought it up to them, and then I said, look, there's a chance. There's always a chance that you'll be drafted. Dad, what do? You'll suck it up, and you'll go to war. That's what you do. And that hurts, doesn't it? Just even thinking about it hurts. Gosh, think about that moment. My dad's hard as nails. My dad, I don't think I've seen my dad cry four times in my entire life. My dad cried the day I went off to boot camp. I mean, think about what that's like as a parent. Your baby boy, your baby girl's going away and might die. A dangerous profession, right? Marine Corps infantry. Sorry, Dad. But that's also life. How many people listening to the sound of my voice have a son who's never coming home again because of combat? Have a father never coming home again? Mother, sister, daughter. That's what life has been for all of mankind. Is, hey, we're all just cogs in the wheel, man. And so I already told mine, the day might come. And if that day comes, you got to do your duty. That's all there is to it. And that's heavy, but it is what it is. Dear Jesse, I'm currently working in Houston area for work. Had a bartender ask me if I wanted my Mexican beer dressed. Being that I am a dirty Yankee, I had no idea what that means, so I had to ask. It turns out that down here, a dressed beer has lime and salt on the outside of the glass or bottle like a margarita. My question for you is, do you prefer a dressed beer? And why have you Texans been keeping this glorious beer salt a secret for the rest of us? You can say my name. His name is Sean. All right. Let me help out the rest of the country here, because I realize the show is a public service, Chris, basically. It's a public service across America. So Texas culture and Mexican culture, they're one and the same. Virtually, they're linked. People ask why Mexicans in Texas vote Republican. There are a lot of reasons for that, but one of the main reasons is there's no separation here. It's just, they're all one and the same. Half the cowboys I know down here are Mexicans. My best friend's a Mexican. They're just, there are Mexican restaurants on every street corner, and it's not a separation. We're together because of the history of the state. You know, Mexico had it, we had it, Spain had it. Everyone's had the daggone place. So there are things that I find here that I can't find anywhere else. I won't eat Mexican food anywhere else. And no, I know everyone in San Diego is going to yell at me. Albuquerque's going to yell at me. I've spent a bunch of time in California and Arizona and in New Mexico. I'm telling you, Texas Mexican food is better. It just is. I won't eat Mexican food in another state now. Now, our pizza sucks and things like that. There are things Texans can't do. We dreadful pizza. It's unbelievable. These people can't make a pizza to save their life. Our Mexican food cannot be beat. As far as dressing of the beer goes, not only will they add lime and salt to your glass, and not only does it add just a great mix when the beer's ice cold and there's a salt around the rim of your glass, they now sell these things. I'm assuming they sell them everywhere. They sell salt licks. And what it is, it's this little sticky strip of salt that they'll sell it packaged at the gas stations and liquor stores down here. It attaches, you just slap it on your beer can or beer bottle at home, and then, granted it looks a little awkward, you take a lick of it before you drink every single beer. It's awesome. They're incredible. There you go. Dressed beers. How about that? All right, before I forget, some guy's losing his hair. We've got to help him out. We have to talk about getting involved at a local level. You're worried about November. You want to get involved at a local level. We're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to talk about putting your money where your morals are. And I know that is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's extremely difficult, and sometimes it's impossible. I'm going to go buy a new car. Good luck finding a car company that didn't embrace Pride Month. Believe me, I've looked. But your cell phone might be the easiest one. Do you still have Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile? I switched my entire family, and it was nothing. It takes nothing. It takes less than 10 minutes. You don't even have to switch phones or phone numbers if you don't want. It's 10 minutes on the phone, and then they just mail you the SIM card, and all of a sudden, you're spending half of what you were, and you're not sending money to people who hate your guts every single month. Why haven't you switched? Look, they're even now, right now, they're doing an additional 50% off your first month from your cell phone. Pick it up. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you 50% off your first month. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly, and switch to Pure Talk. Let's get to another one real quick. Jesse, today while getting ready for a night out with the wife, I tried styling my hair by combing it back with gel in it. I used to do this all the time, but now I don't have enough hair. My hairline is now retreating and advancing from the back at the same time. Is it time to shave it all off and go bald? You can use my name. His name is John. John, my friend. I'm a kindred spirit. Mine's thinning, and it's retreating towards my ears. Buzz it down and call it a day, my brother. Father Time is undefeated. There's no shame in it at all. Buzz it down and call it a day. You're not supposed to be 20 forever. I don't want to be 20 forever. I'm fine turning into an old man. All right. Man, we have a bunch of fun. Why don't Christians vote? And getting involved locally. Boy, are we going to offend some people. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.